So how do you get courage and peace? Do you remove all vestige of problems? Nah. Or what about struggles? Nah. See, God never promised that we wouldn't face struggles. He never promised that you wouldn't go through challenges. He never said that you wouldn't go through setbacks. He never promised that there wouldn't be storms. But He did promise you and me that He'll give us peace in the midst of storms.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Pastor Wayne Cordero. Remember how it was when you were a kid? You'd hear a noise in the middle of the night, and you were just sure it was some monster hiding under the bed. Well, it may seem silly now, but just because we're grown up, it doesn't mean we don't still have fears. Could be fear for your health, fear you'll lose your job, fear for the kids. We all have them. So what you gonna do about it? Well, here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Facing the Giant of Fear.
We're gonna be continuing in our series called The Fear Project, and today I want to talk about insurmountable challenges that we cannot handle. What do you do when it's like beyond us? What do we say when we need courage? And let me start with a story that I heard about. There was this man here in Honolulu that just needed a job so badly. He looked everywhere for a job. No job. Finally, he was going by the Honolulu Zoo, and he thought, I'll clean poop, anything. I gotta get a job. So he went into the zookeeper and said, I'll do anything. I need a job. I got two kids. I need to get a job. Well, the zookeeper said, well, we have enough maintenance people. But he said, you know, our gorilla died a couple days ago. So he said, well? He said, well, you see, it was a star attraction and people would come and take pictures. And if the gorilla's not there, well, there's no star attraction. He said, well, what does that mean to me? He said, well, we have a gorilla suit. And if you'd be willing to put this gorilla suit on and act like a gorilla, well, maybe the people will still come and take pictures. He said, oh, no, I don't want to do that. That's so dumb. So what's all we got? I said, okay, what do I have to do? Act like a gorilla. So he put this suit on and he went out there and sat on a rock. And the kids came and thought, oh, the gorilla is not doing anything. And he got up and went, ooh, ooh, ooh. Oh boy, they started taking pictures. And he realized that with a little bit of movement, if they would take a little bit of pictures, then more movement will equal more pictures. So he started acting out more. He would run up to the fence, ooh, ooh, ooh. Oh boy, they just start taking pictures like crazy. And then he started swinging on a rope. And that so thrilled them, they started calling aunties and uncles. You gotta come, there's this gorilla that has all kinds of exciting times in his day. He's swinging on ropes. And boy, pretty soon, by the afternoon, there was a crowd around this gorilla's cage. Well, he realized that if he swung further, like over them, oh, they would take pictures. They'd be oohing and aahing. And so he started swinging out over the adjacent pens and the adjacent places. And boy, they were just going crazy. And he thought he'd just be a real trapeze artist. So he swung out as far as he could. And as he did, one of his gloves slipped off and whoosh, out into this next den. And it was the lion's den. Kaboom! He hit the ground, and within seconds, this massive lion pounces on him. Roar! And all of a sudden, he forgets about the gorilla, and he starts yelling to the people, I'm not a gorilla, I'm a human being. Help me, I got two kids, somebody help. And then just then, from under the huge lion head, he hears this human voice, shut up, you fool, or we'll both get fired. There wasn't a real animal in the whole Honolulu Zoo. Where is courage when it's tested? We all need courage. Today I want to talk about courage on purpose. Every single day we have opportunities to get fearful, get upset, get worried, lose our peace. An unexpected bill shows up, or we just discover, oh, a new pain. We get a pink slip at our job, or our marriage just isn't going well, or you just had a nightmare that you were eating a giant marshmallow and you get up and your pillow is missing. All of a sudden, fear. Fear is a robber. Fear robs you of joy, doesn't it? Fear robs you of confidence and peace, and you start making bad decisions. It causes you to worry, and worry feeds fear, and fear feeds worry. And we spend so much time worrying. I mean, just think about the hours and restless nights that we have expended just worrying. Matthew chapter 6 in the King James says, by worrying, you can't even add 1 inch to your height. If we could, some of us would be 39 feet tall by now. Then we are professional worriers. In the Bible, they talk about professional mourners. Did you know in the Bible, when you'd have a funeral, and if you needed more people like feeling sorry for the death of the loved ones, they would actually hire people to cry and mourn. They pay them. Okay, when do I get my pay, please? They'd actually hire professional mourners. I think we have professional worriers in the church. I mean, we are so good at worrying, we can multitask worrying. We can eat and worry at the same time. We can drive and worry at the same time. We take in a shower and we're worrying at the same time. And if you think about the amount of time we've spent worrying, I was talking with Anna some days ago and I said, honey, you know, all the things we just spent time worrying about, just think, God has delivered us from every single one of them. And we're doing fine today. Yes, we've gone through some challenges, but we have survived and God has brought us through, hasn't he? But think of all of the nights and the days and the hours and the calories we've expended on just worrying. And if we could have taken all of the time expended and the sleepless nights and the hours and maybe weeks that we've worried, and instead of expending it in worry, we chose to spend it on trusting God more, just think how much better our lives would be. I said, man, if I could do that, I think I'd be Pope today if I spent all that time trusting God rather than worrying. But you see, the enemy would love to have us put our energy that way so that it is totally dissipated, wherein that amount could have been put in trusting God and it would have moved us so much further ahead. So how do we do that? How do we build that kind of faith and courage? Why does God talk to us again and again throughout the Bible and he says, do not fear, do not be afraid, do not fear, again and again? You know why? Because what you fear becomes your Lord. See, when you receive Christ, you receive him as Savior and Lord. Savior means he comes to save us from our sins and gives us forgiveness. All right, so we receive that. But he wants us to move into the lordship of Christ so that who is Lord in your life is he who dictates whether your day is a success or not, whether your countenance is up or down, whether you're going to have a good marriage or a bad marriage, whether you're going to be bitter or you're going to have the power to forgive. Who's your Lord in your life is who controls your day-to-day countenance. And if we're fearing a problem and worrying, what we have done is we've taken Jesus off the throne and we put the problem on the throne. And then that problem dictates everything about you. It steals your sleep. It steals your rest. It makes you make bad decisions. Think about it. You're going down H1 and someone cuts you off and then beeps their horn at you and gives you the one-way sign to heaven as he goes by. All of a sudden you're like, what is this? What? What? I hate this. I hate it. I hate everybody. I just hate this. And what happened is you let his mistake or his immaturity become your Lord, because look how your life has changed that fast. From being balanced to unbalanced. Being happy to being a total wreck. Who controlled your life? Jesus? No, that guy's sin or error or anger. And it's changed me. You understand, what you worry and get angry about, if you're not careful, will become your Lord, and it'll dictate the rest of your day, maybe your week, maybe your month. And so God is very concerned about it. Let me ask you this question. What do you fear? What's taking up your time? Just recently, there's a pain right here in my solar plexus, and I thought, oh no, I'm going to have a heart attack. Oh no. And then a friend of mine had just had found out he had lung cancer. I thought, I bet I got lung cancer too. Oh no, it's a tumor. No, maybe it's just cancer of the bone. Oh no. And I thought, I'm gonna die. Any of you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, don't look holy at me. You do too. So, oh no, I'm gonna die. It might be pneumonia. Oh no. And about 3 days later, it just went away. And then I remembered that I was helping a guy take his suitcase out of the overhead bin in the airplane when we landed, and I just pulled something. I remember, that's it. It was just a little strained muscle. But I thought I was going to die. And it took 4 days or so out of my life. Huh. What are you fearing? Because if you're not careful, what you fear the most becomes your Lord, and it starts to control your life. So how do you get courage and peace? Do you remove all vestige of problems? No. Or what about struggles? Nah. See, God never promised that we wouldn't face struggles. He never promised that you wouldn't go through challenges. He never said that you wouldn't go through setbacks. He never promised that there wouldn't be storms. But he did promise you and me that he'll give us peace in the midst of storms. Not apart from storms, in the midst. Which means my peace has no determination by the storms. It's independent of it. I want to talk to you today about having peace on purpose. Being courageous on purpose. It has nothing to do with circumstances. Where does that all begin? Well, it starts in Joshua 1:9. Let's read it together. It'll come up on your screen as he commands us to do something. Would you read it with me? Go. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Now, remember, he said, have I not what? Commanded you. Do not be afraid. Well, if fear were a feeling, and if courage were just the absence of fear, and if courage were a feeling, he can't command feelings. He can only command choice. Ah, really? Yes. Courage on purpose is a choice I make regardless of circumstances. It's in the midst of storms. Because he couldn't command feelings. Even though I'm a little bit shaky, I can still say, I choose to be courageous. See, courage is not the absence of fear. It's pressing on in spite of it. And it has nothing to do with circumstances. God could not command feelings if it were a feeling. For example, right now, if I said, I command you, all of you, be sad. Be really sad right now. No, you can't. You know, some of you are laughing. Oh, no. Be sad. I command you. Well, you can't because you can't command feelings. You can only command choice. Stand up, sit down, and God says, I command you, be courageous. Yes, sir. All of a sudden, in the midst of storms, regardless of the waves pounding, I choose to be courageous. It's a matter of my faith, trusting him, not the circumstances, leaning on them. He says that about peace too. You cannot engender peace of your own accord. No. In fact, let's read what it says here in the book of John chapter 14. Read it with me. Go. Peace I leave with you. My peace. Whose peace? My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. He's giving us a choice. And he's saying, it's not your peace, it's mine. Peace isn't something you drum up. Peace is something you simply receive. It's a matter of our faith. You get to receive peace. And the reason God is saying that this is so important is because it's gonna, if we don't, fear will attack your heart and your mind. And always remember this, your life will follow your thoughts. If you have bad thinking, you have bad living. You have stinking thinking, you have stinking living. You have a worrisome thought life, you're gonna have a worrisome active life as well. It's going to be applied in every area. In fact, that's why he says it this way, and let's read what it says in the book of Philippians. Would you read this one with me? Go. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with what? Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Because that's where the real battle is taking place anyway, in your hearts and in your mind. Because your life is going to follow your thoughts. People can rise above any setback, financial, physical, relational. Human beings are amazingly resilient. You can rise above pretty much anything except one thing. A human being can never rise above the quality of his thoughts. If you don't think you can, that's why you ain't. If you don't think you're good enough, that's why you're not. If you want a higher quality of life, you have to have a higher quality of thoughts, thinking. And so God is saying, be anxious for nothing. I'll give you my peace, and it'll guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus, because that's where the real battle is. Remember this, Satan is a headhunter. Your mind is his battlefield. And your future, what you imagine for your future is his trophy. If he can steal that from you so you imagine nothing, that's his trophy. So God says, you're going to be facing fears, but I don't want it to control your life. Then you say, well, God, if you said we're going to face fears, but don't let it control us, why do you let us go through it anyway? Why don't you just remove it and we'll have a deal? How's that? Oh, I'd like to, says the Lord, but there's a reason for the challenges, even the insurmountable ones. I've shared this illustration before. Allow me to do it again if you've heard it before. But here's what God is saying. Let's say you're flying in an airplane at 32,000 feet. It's very nice. You're listening to your music on your Bose earphones. You're eating dinner, talking with your friends. Everything is fine. There's a bunch of people on that airplane, 300 or so of them. And many of them don't believe in God. They don't care about God. They're just doing fine. All of a sudden, however, they hear the engines. Now, their hair is flying back. Their food is on the ceiling. Their headphones are on the ceiling. Their eyeballs are like saucers. Their knuckles are white, and they're going down vertical. 700 miles an hour down. All of a sudden, everybody's talking about God. And it's like a Catholic confessional. They're all confessing their sins. Oh, God, I'm not going to yell at my wife or make bad kind words. Oh, God, I'm not going to drink kava no more. Lord, I'm not going to church. All of a sudden, they make all these commitments to God. You know what I'm talking about? It's like when you're going into the dentist, you're confessing all your sins, you know. The plane is going down and it's starting to go towards the earth, and the pilot starts to pull it up just a little bit, but it's still hitting the tops of trees. Boop, 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 boop. Oh, God, I love you. I love you, God. I love you. I go be a missionary anyway you want me to go. I'm ready. I'm ready. Boy, we're making all these commitments, right? And then the pilot finally pulls it up. And now at 32,000 feet again. Whew. whew, everybody says, wow, that was close. Now what God is saying is there sometimes I'm going to let your airplane go from 32,000 feet down to 3.2 feet. And I'm going to let you brush death about that far from it. Why? Oh, I'll see you through. Well, why do you let that happen in the first place? Well, because God says there are certain commitments you will make in life at 3.2 feet that you will never make at 32,000 feet. And those decisions that you make at 3.2 feet are the most eternal decisions you'll ever make. And if you were never down there, you wouldn't make those decisions. You would live a false and deceptive life with wrong perceptions. I just bring you close to reality. And all of a sudden, you make very eternal decisions. And here's the crux, God is saying. When I get you back up to 32,000 feet, don't forget the life change that took place at 3.2 feet. I want you to take that and live it here. That was my goal with the insurmountable challenge that you faced. Do you understand? The most profound classrooms you'll ever have is at 3.2 feet. On the other hand, if you're at 3.2 feet and you make no decisions, you're dumb. Make them. Because when you're at 32,000, the decisions you made that could only be made there, make them stick up here. And everything changes. So God says there, you will have challenges. I never promise that you won't. Never promise that you won't have storms. But I will promise you that I'll give you peace in the midst of storms. Well, you say, well, how can we get that kind of confidence and courage? I mean, courage on purpose. Well, there's a key to that. On how to, the key to transfer these insurmountable problems to God's desk and get it off of ours. How do you do that? It's found in a story, a true story, found in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It's the most unconventional way to fight a battle, but you're about to hear it. Instead of sending bazookas and tanks for the front line of an army to defend against an attacking army, they send praisers and singers and dancers, and they do the ballet on the battlefield. And it messes up the enemy so much that God sets ambushes and destroys the enemy. We're about to hear what it's all about. We're going to slip into the 20th chapter of 2 Chronicles. The king's name is King Jehoshaphat. Now, over on the Arabian side, there's a place called the Ammon or Ammon, Jordan today, or the Ammonites live there. And then you have the Moabites, where Moab is on the other side of the Jordan, and a place called Mount Seir. They were all natural enemies against Jerusalem. King Jehoshaphat's the king of Jerusalem. Three armies ally together. Let's get them. Yeah, let's team up. Yeah, let's bully them. Yeah, let's kill them. All right, let's go. Woo, break. And so they get going towards Jerusalem. Jehoshaphat sees three nations coming against them. He says to God, I am roadkill. I am dead. I'm finished. What do I do? And he starts to pray. Oh no, complain before God. And he says this, read his prayer. He says to God, go, we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us, nor do we know what to do. Stop right there. Have you ever been there? Where the challenge is so insurmountable that you say, there is nothing I can do. Not only am I powerless, I don't even know what to do. Well, if that has been you, you're in good company because Jehoshaphat felt the same thing. But here's the key. He says, I don't even know what to do, God. But here's the last line, but my eyes are upon whom? See, when you put your eyes on the problem, you're engulfed by the problem. But when you put your eyes on God, you'll be embraced by God. So he says, my eyes aren't going to be on the problem. I got to put my eyes on you. because I am powerless. I don't even know what to do. But I'm going to look to you. And that must have so pleased God, because here's what God's statement in reply was. Because you said that, the battle will no longer be yours. The battle is the Lord's. Oh, do you like that? Oh, I love that. Yeah. The battle is not yours. I'll take it from here.
You've just heard a message entitled Facing the Giant of Fear by Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for listening. Please keep in mind you can listen to Words of New Hope anytime, 24/7. Just go to Spreaker.com. That's Spreaker, S-P-R-E-A-K-E-R, Spreaker.com, and search on Words of New Hope. Now, for Pastor Wayne and all the Ohana at New Hope, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best, and aloha.